This is A Wild Conversation.
Hi, my name is Callum Hughes. I'm a zookeeper here at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
And I'm Ashley Wysick, also a zookeeper here at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
And today on A Wild Conversation, we're going to be talking about animals that live in urban environments.
The suburbs.
Exactly.
Society.
But before we get into that, I have to make a public apology.
You do this a lot.
Yes. Because I take responsibility for my mistakes, Ashley.
I just don't make mistakes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No,
okay.
Not at all.
So
never, ever.
In the last podcast where we said what came first, the barnacle or the goose?
Yes.
I made a ironic mistake with animal misconceptions where I called a water buffalo, briefly, by mistake, a bison. Yes.
I didn't even catch on to that.
I
would have ripped you apart.
Which also means, Ashley, that you're responsible for this too.
Oh, no.
You sat there and you let it happen and you did not
correct
me.
I was really tired that day. I hadn't had a pop in the morning. You know, I have all the excuses.
Great alibi, Ashley. That'll definitely, that'll stand up on the internet.
My pet chicken was really cute that morning, so I was completely distracted thinking about him. Like, there was nothing. I'm sorry.
Just
my brain wasn't in the game.
Just to clear up, often bison are called buffalo.
But they are not the same thing.
Absolutely not. Completely different animals.
Yeah.
Buffalo are found in Africa and Asia, and the Asian water buffalo is practically semi-aquatic. Mm-hmm. And bison are designed for the plains, the cold. They have wool, they have humps, they have bigger heads, but they're smaller than buffalo.
I think, too, somewhat their horn placements are rather different.
Exactly,
yeah.
That too. So my apologies if you've caught on to that. Excellent, you know your animals, and you've got 1 point over me.
We're turning this podcast into find the mistake before we do.
Hey, I am not against that.
So it's good to be accurate.
Exactly. So back onto animals in urban environments. You probably noticed that although urban environments do not suit the needs of many animals, there are some that it actually benefits.
Yeah, they do quite well.
Yeah. Like, prime example, raccoons.
Oh, so true.
They are so smart. I think in Toronto, they have to change the locks on their compost bins because the raccoons can figure them out. So they have to change the way that you turn them or the way that you unlatch them because raccoons can figure it out pretty quickly.
That's crazy.
Right?
Whoa.
And you can find them in downtown Toronto or out in the suburbs. And they've even done studies that the ones inside the cities are smarter than the ones in the countryside.
They have to be.
Exactly. They've got that problem-solving ability.
I mean, I would argue that, like, when you start getting to the city and you start thinking about it as if it was a biome, it's probably one of the most difficult biomes to live in.
Mm-hmm.
There's really nothing helping you, you know? Especially if you think of a city, it's literally a concrete jungle is what it's been referred to before.
Exactly. And it's funny to us, it might seem barren, but of course we often leave a lot of scraps of food.
It's true, we're very messy.
Which is very beneficial to any opportunistic animals. We also provide unique habitats that sometimes benefit or coincidentally match the desired habitats of certain species.
But possibly lack something really important like predators.
Yes, that's also a good one.
Would keep populations in check.
So yeah.
That's why you have problems with things like rodents.
Yes.
Oof.
Wherever rats go, or wherever people go, rats go. They've even been in Antarctica, rats.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Only where people live, though, and some animals, I've even heard that house mice have an interesting relationship with people because they actually live further north than they're capable of living, but because they live in human settlements or with people, they're able to stay warm in our shelters.
Oh, yeah, because they'd be things like under the floorboards or in the walls.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
If it weren't for people, they wouldn't be able to go as far north as they do.
Huh.
Pretty crazy, right?
That is really crazy.
I know, and we brought this up a few times, coyotes is a big one that comes up in the news here.
Yeah, especially lately, this last summer.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
There was some bites, and that was attributed to animal feeding.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's important to know, I think, or talk about, is that when we share a space with an animal, whether it's an urban environment or out in the wild, we need to respect each other and mm-hmm. not disrupt that relationship, you know?
It's very true.
A coyote can live in a suburb and a city without being a problem to people, as long as we follow the rules of not feeding it, reinforcing a respect for the space that they should give people. So if a coyote approaches you too much, you're supposed to clap your hands and make it very clear you are not something to get close to. And the animal will respect your space.
And they will find their own food. They know how to do it. That's why they've been there for so long, right?
Yeah. It might not even be the scraps that they're eating. They actually will be an example of a carnivore that's hunting the rats and squirrels. I think there's a famous coyote at a university in British Columbia that they have footage of students recording it hunting squirrels.
Oh, like, really?
Just on campus, just grabbing these squirrels.
That's so insane.
And stalking them. Crazy, right?
Yeah. Well, and you think about it, like, as much as it seems like there's, not so much wildlife right here in the suburbs, you see rabbits, you see skunks and raccoons and squirrels and birds. Mm-hmm. You know, we have tons of birds coming. Like, it is a full ecosystem. We just don't necessarily always see it because we're quite loud.
Yes.
The animals are going to be avoiding us. Just because you don't see them doesn't mean they're not there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not to say it's great for everyone. A lot of animals have to steer clear of human settlements, and we can't really coexist. Like, you're not going to have a grizzly bear walking down Main Street here, for example, because the risk to people is so great. And, of course, it's not really something that we can tolerate, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And the same goes for the bear. I mean, if it's a bear walking down the street with cubs, she's not going to get the privacy that she would normally get and space in the woods, for example.
It's very true. I think there are a couple towns or like very small settlements more up north that have kind of figured out how to coexist with bears.
Oh, yeah.
But it's mostly been leave them alone.
Yeah.
I think, what was it? There's a town, I can't remember the name, but I swear they have issues with polar bears coming into town. So it is illegal to lock your car door in that town. Yes.
Yes.
You've heard of it.
I have.
So that if a polar bear suddenly comes around the corner, someone can jump into your car to hide from them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, right?
So that's some coexisting, but again, it's... We leave them alone.
Imagine if someone was in the middle of stealing your car, like here, and they were like, you know, oh, dude, thank God you're here. I had to dart into your car. There was a polar bear. And like, it's here in BC. Polar bear, dude. Oh, thank God you left your car open. You should lock that, by the way. Oh, no, wait. Don't. Just that's how you get away from it if you got caught halfway for stealing a car.
I was definitely trying to hide from a polar bear way down here at like the southwestern corner of BC. For some reason, I forgot where I was for a second there.
You should check your GPS.
I should.
There's also other animals that find opportunities, like...
Foxes.
Foxes. Good one, yeah.
See, I beat you to it.
I almost thought you were swearing there. But foxes was good. The way you said
foxes.
That.
I was excited. I work with foxes, okay?
Fair enough.
They're very cool animals, and they are very crafty.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I hear they also eat quite a bit of vegetative matter or whatnot.
They are actually omnivores.
Mm.
So they eat a whole bunch of... Here at the zoo, we give them pretty much... Usually their main protein item for the day in the morning. And in the afternoon, it's a whole different variety of stuff. And we switch it up. Like, usually they don't have the same arrangement of stuff for at least 2 weeks or something. Sometimes they get... apples and carrots and pears, or we'll give them some yogurt or some... We've given them flavored tofu before.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, Mayhem really likes the peach mango flavored tofu. That's very good. I also one time gave him blood tofu.
Yes, you've told me about that too.
Yeah, my own creation.
Kind of feels like you're defeating the purpose of tofu. Right there.
One of their favorite items actually to get is cockroaches.
Cockroaches?
Oh, like bugs? Ooh. Love them.
High in protein.
And all the kids, when I'm giving them the frozen cockroaches... Kids are just like, ugh. I promise you, the foxes are very excited.
They're really interesting animals because you see them in the UK, for example.
Yeah.
I used to work at a restaurant, and if you came out after the shift at like 2 a.m. Or midnight, you would see foxes walking down an alleyway, and they would walk straight past you like a cat.
They're just like, whatever.
Exactly. They're like, all right, as long as you keep that distance away from me and you don't give me enough attention, we're cool. I'm just here to pick up scraps and whatnot.
Interesting.
In fact, I don't know, have you ever heard of the Shard in the UK?
No.
That's totally fine. It's like a massive skyscraper-like building.
I don't know anything.
It goes way up high. There was a fox living on the 77th floor, apparently.
What?
Yep.
How?
It went up the stairs while they were doing construction of the building.
And just lived up there?
For a bit. I don't know if it lived up there or wandered up there from the smell of scraps and was eating the workers' leftover sandwiches and stuff.
That is hilarious.
Until it was rescued. Gosh. It was rescued and removed and was looked after to make sure it was okay. But it was living like hundreds of, well, I don't know how many, how high it would be up, but 77th floor,
that's a lot.
High up.
That, yeah.
Oh, that's a brave fox.
I wonder if that's the highest elevation that a fox has ever been found.
Possibly.
I have no idea on that. I mean, on that statistic. I
guess a fox in the mountains, like, there are parts of your highway in Canada that are above sea level than the highest point in the UK, I'm pretty certain.
That's true. I think I was thinking more of like airspace.
Oh, true. And another really good one that's kind of interesting to think about. African penguins, right?
Excuse me?
Yes, African penguins.
What?
In Cape Town in South Africa.
I need to do more traveling.
These penguins go into the city and sometimes build their nests in storm drains and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I did not know that.
It's like they can find better shading up there, better protection from the elements, more privacy. So they often will go for it, and they can cause serious problems in town too with their disruptiveness.
Oh my gosh, my boyfriend would be living his best dream if he just went outside and there's penguins.
I mean, I'm not saying it, but that sounds like a good, you know, anniversary gift. Oh, taking to Cape Town to see the urban penguins.
Right? They're like his favorite. That's awesome. I did not know that. I discover a lot of things on this podcast.
Yeah, me too. I have received a lot of ostrich facts from you.
Ostrich facts.
And now
facts.
I know more about ostriches than I ever thought I would know.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you wanted to know that much about ostriches, but there you go.
Oh, definitely. You know, you can always use information about ostriches. A really good opportunity that some species get, for example, have you ever seen geckos on lights?
On lights?
Like, they're not necessarily on the lights, but they're hanging around the wall right where the lights are.
Okay, yeah. Oh, because bugs get...
Exactly.
Oh, that's cool.
If you're ever traveling abroad and you don't have to go that far, because there are geckos all over the world, you can watch the lights, and you'll see the geckos at night come out, and they all group around these lights, and you just watch them for a bit, and you'll see a bug land on the wall, and one of these geckos scurries over and whack!
That's so cool.
And in Thailand, if you are in Thailand, there is a really cool gecko that you've got to see. It's called the 2K gecko.
2K.
2K. And it's called that because of the noise it makes.
Okay.
You'll be like sitting somewhere in Thailand and you'll hear this. Like that. And sorry, it sounds like they're saying 2K or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's really loud. And these geckos are like the second largest gecko in the world.
Oh, like, wait, that's spelled T-O-K-A-Y?
T-O-K-E, I'm dyslexic, so I
Tokay, I think I always call them Tokay geckos.
Tokay.
Tokay, yeah.
Oh, Tokay, Tokay.
I don't know.
Potato,
I don't know
potato.
If I'm wrong. I think I worked with one.
Really?
Yeah, a long time ago. And yeah, he would scream at me.
Really?
He was content if you were misting him and if you put his food in there, but if your hand was in there to like pull out the water bowl and stuff, he was like, excuse you. You're not allowed to be in here.
Yeah, I could see that. They did seem to be a bit more aggressive.
Yeah, okay, no, as soon as you said that they're quite large, yes, I have worked with one of those before. They're really cool.
And
he was
beautiful,
like blue,
right?
He was like blue with orange spots.
That's exactly what they look like, yeah.
Right? That's so cool.
Oh. And in Thailand, you see these guys, massive geckos. Like, you can actually see the smaller species around them.
Yeah.
And these guys are just huge. And what's really cool, too, is they don't lay their eggs in the soil, like other geckos.
No?
They lay them, and they stick to surfaces.
Whoa. So are they the ones that naturally would lay them, like, underneath leaves?
I don't know if that's what they do naturally.
Okay.
I've only actually ever seen it in urban environments. But I've seen it where they've put them up on the ceiling or right underneath a set of boards, and they stick them up on these surfaces.
Here you go, babies. Bye.
Yeah. which is so cool. Like, imagine eggs, like, just suspended up there, but stuck because of a natural adhesive they have.
That's really cool.
Right? Yeah. And they seem to do so much better in urban environments because of all the insects that we attract from our waste, because of the ability to basically just sit and wait for their prey to come to them, as opposed to going out at night and foraging.
It's also interesting to me how we have very different, like, urban animals than other places.
Yes.
Like, I did go to Belize once with a couple of my friends, and there were, like, I think it was an iguana that I saw, like, a few of them, and they're just, like, the people who are living there are just like, yeah. Yeah, that's just kind of how it is. And I was just like, whoa!
Yeah.
It's so interesting how each different place has those separate animals that have kind of moved in and learned how to exist with us.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And, yeah. Like, when you go abroad, you're just breathtaking by their version of a squirrel. You know, I mean, it's not a squirrel, it's an iguana, or it's a Cape penguin, but you, it's like...
But that's the amazing thing, is that it's not just skunks, raccoons, squirrels, and rats and mice everywhere else, you know?
Yeah.
It changes. Or, like, the one that really mystified me when I was in Belize was grackles.
Grackles?
I'd never seen a grackle before. They're just like a little bird. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much their version of pigeons, and I was just like, I love him. And there were hundreds of them, but I was still like, these guys are fascinating. And the locals thought I was crazy.
Well, I mean, if you say, you see that bird over there? I love him.
I love him. Okay, well, maybe I just weird people out, but that's just me.
Hey, it's not weird. It's totally okay. It's important to share your feelings, right? It's important.
And you just point at the nearest animal, make direct eye contact with a stranger, and go, I love him.
Oh, and it just goes to show you, too, like, there are some animals that you would not expect to be able to coexist. And I say coexist because it's a little bit of a fragile balance. Have you heard about leopards in some cities in India, for example?
Oh, no.
There's some really good documentaries out there where, like,
they actually quite coexist quite well. I've heard of jaguars, I think, in South America have learned how to live pretty well.
Okay.
Near urban environments, but I don't know any specifics.
So these leopards come in at night into the villages.
Ooh, that's scary.
I haven't heard of any serious attacks on, like, you know, hunting people, for example, but I'm pretty certain you still bring your kids in at night, of course.
And your dogs.
That's what they're hunting, dogs. Stray dogs is what they're hunting, usually. And there's a lot of footage out there of security cameras that catch, unfortunately, dogs sleeping outside, and a leopard just, that they did not hear or see or smell until it's too late.
Oh, see, I can't live there then, because my dog has figured out how to open the door, and now that it's summertime, she's been letting herself outside at night to sleep outside, because it's cooler out there.
Oh.
It's very rude. I need to get, like, a different lock.
And a serious issue for animal control, too, because they have to make sure, sometimes there's accidents, like, there was a leopard that got stuck inside a school.
Excuse me?
It accidentally got stuck inside the school, and you see the cameras, and the leopard's walking down the hallway where the kids' locker rooms are and stuff.
At least someone figured that out before the kids got there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then they, you know, chase the animal or capture the animal to return to the national park. So it's a bit of a fragile balance, but there are many other species that do really well.
That's so cool.
With people and coexist. And as long as we respect the spaces... Don't destroy that, ruin their behavior or encourage bad behaviors from animal feeding or, you know, being overly aggressive towards species that, you know, just trying to live and aren't a threat to you, for example.
Just leave the spider alone.
Exactly. You know, if you want to live and thrive.
Keep the spider alive?
Let a spider run alive.
I don't know. You said that to me like months ago. I tried.
Oh, one more thing I've got to mention is harbors. There was this really cool, like, seals and sea lions, they love harbors. They're a great place to beach themselves. Well, not beach, that's a bad thing for whales, to rest up on the shore.
Yep.
But I was watching this really cool documentary on Netflix, narrated by David Attenborough.
Okay.
And a sea otter with a pup would stash its baby away underneath the dock in, like, a little divot in the, or a little space in between the wood.
Really?
So she could go and eat so the baby would be safe.
That's really cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas in the wild, they'd have to wrap their baby up in kelp. And fluff them up so they've basically got a life jacket on. That's why they groom themselves so much. They fluff up that fur so it's full of air, so the baby can't physically sink, and then they go hunting, and then they come back.
And these otters are just like, this is way easier. You just stay right there.
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank God the new daycare opened up.
New daycare.
This is great.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah.
Animals are cool.
Yeah, for sure. And if anyone has any questions for us, or if you're still upset about me mistaking
bison, I'm very upset buffalo, now that I have had it pointed out to me.
You should have corrected me. I'm just saying. Please do not hesitate to email us at podcast@gvzoo.com or DM us on our social media. I'm Callum Hughes.
And I'm Ashley Wysick.
And this has been A Wild Conversation.